Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hey, this is attorney Todd L. Levitt of the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're starting the show off a little different this morning, and I'd like to take a moment to dedicate this show, the next hour, to the memory of a very special, beautiful young lady. She's a daughter, a sister, a great friend, Paige Atkinson. And we will keep, and I have been keeping, Paige in my thoughts and prayers and her family for the last week. She attended Beale City High School. She has two brothers, Andy, who's in the Army, and Aaron, wonderful young men. Jeremy, her father, who is a friend, and Jody, her mother, wonderful family. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the entire family and extended friends of the family. Paige was an outstanding young lady. She loved her friends, loved life, and we're going to keep her, Craig, in our memory and ask the listeners to do so throughout the show. I want to also give a special thank you on behalf of the family and friends to a restaurant out in Wademan, Ellie May. Ellie May Restaurant, at no cost, provided the family with food and resources during this time period. Ellie May Restaurant out in Wademan, Michigan. So I would ask everybody to, and it's a great restaurant, great food. I actually know the owner and whatnot. So thank you, Ellie May, and Scott Battle, another great man who's very close friends with the family. So with that being said, Paige, this show is dedicated to your memory that will live on.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Down in the hollow. Playing a new game. Laughing and running. Hey, hey. Skipping and jumping. Morning fog with our hearts are thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl, and you, my brown eyed girl, and whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, gone down the old man with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
la la di da, la di da.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Group Mothership in the middle of the Mitten in a green field. Once again, a beautiful green field on a sunny day with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you. First place, before we do anything, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
I thought you were going to wish me happy Mother's Day.
No, I'm just going to call you a mother.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Yes.
And grandmothers.
Uh-huh.
Just happy, every day is Mother's Day.
Well, true, but this is the day we celebrate mothers and everything like that.
Now, but is it truly a Mother's Day celebration, or is it another card purchasing holiday that the card companies came up with, and they had money and they passed legislation, and it's not even a law, it's just a day to celebrate.
Right, exactly. I think it's turned into that stuff. It's turned as a, now is your mom still around?
Of course.
You still have your mom?
You kidding me?
You going to do anything for her? Did you do anything?
Absolutely. My mother's actually, she's somewhere in this green field.
Oh, okay.
You just can't see her.
I didn't know that.
My mother's having a great day today.
That's good to know.
Are you kidding me?
That's good to know.
Who do you think keeps this green field so green and prosperous?
That was not what I thought you were going to say.
My mother. Are you kidding me? My mother's from the 60s. I mean, come on.
I just sent my mom a KFC gift card.
That's funny. I'll tell your mom that you said hi when I see her later today.
Oh, right. Okay.
Hey, guess what, Craig?
What, Todd?
I got a lot of feedback last week when we talked about gas station pizza.
Oh, no.
If you didn't tune in last week on the Todd Levitt Law Show, Craig and I were very concerned at some pizza we saw at a particular gas station.
Yeah.
But I've since gone on. I've heard from a lot of listeners. There are some really fine establishments out there.
I want to know.
Like Out of Bounds out in Wademan.
Okay.
Some of the best. They're not even, it's a gas station, but it's not a gas station. You can get gas there.
Right.
It's a store, groceries.
Okay.
Landa. I mean, great people out there, that run that ship out there. So, but you can get great pizza.
And I'll tell you this much. After talking about all the pizza that we talked about everything last week, I actually stopped into a gas station and got some of those little tornadoes, those little rolled things, pepperoni and cheese pizza ones. Those were good.
Okay, that's not happening with this guy right here.
Oh, they were awesome.
It's not happening.
Awesome. I wouldn't eat the hot dogs on those rollers, but I'll eat those tornado things. Those are great.
Not happening.
I'm just saying, they're great.
Craig, it's fair to say that we talk quite a bit about cannabis on this show.
True.
And we are not going to let the listeners down today. I have a lot of stuff to talk about in regards to cannabis.
I know what part of it is, too.
So here's what we're going to be talking about throughout the show.
Okay.
There was a case out of Royal Oak. An individual was charged with a felony third drinking and driving offense.
Okay.
Habitual third offender. It went up to circuit court. Those cases go up to circuit court. It started in Royal Oak, ended up at 1200 North Telegraph.
Okay.
The issue was, during probation, whether or not the probationer could continue to use his medicine, which I refer to cannabis as, he's a cardholder.
Okay.
So that's the question. It went up to the Michigan Court of Appeals. I have an answer for the listeners in regards to if you're on probation and the judge ordered you at that time when you're on probation that you could not partake in any smoking of marijuana, even if you are a cardholder, this case went up to the Court of Appeals. We have an answer.
Okay.
We also are going to be touching on some of the taxations and fees, more so the taxes that will be paid to the state of Michigan and the local municipalities as a result of allowing and opting in to the Facilities Licensing Act.
See, I think that's great. I think the state of Michigan, that's a gold mine. They are going to collect so much money, the legalization of recreational marijuana in the state. It's not even funny.
This is a podcast that goes out all across planet Earth.
Correct.
And there's a lot of green fields this show goes out to. I'm just saying.
Literally and figuratively.
I'm hoping Snoop and Willie listen to the show. Can't be sure.
But when they come to Michigan next time, they'll be able to partake.
You know who I want to get on the show?
Who do you want to get on the show?
Uncle Ted.
Ted Nugent?
Uncle Ted Nugent.
Now, what is... I'll tell you why. I've actually interviewed Uncle Ted before. I have interviewed him, and I actually know a couple people. I used to work in Jackson and know, that's he's got some land down there, and I know people, some of his relation. I could maybe work that out for you. But what is his views on recreational marijuana?
You know, let's let Uncle Ted answer that. That's why we have to get Uncle Ted. And here's why I'd like to get Uncle Ted on the show.
Okay.
Back in the early 90s, I got out of law school, Detroit College of Law in 1992. Berkeley High, class 83, fire up chips, class 88.
Wow, you're old.
I am old. I have a lot of hair on my head.
You do. You do not look 50, whatever you are.
Talk to me. Talk to me, Craig.
You don't.
Come on.
You don't.
Bring it on. It's
you'll
Mother's
look about,
Day.
You'll look about 35.
I appreciate that.
You do.
Thank you very much. It's healthy living.
I'm just telling you.
And good DNA. Back in the early 90s, Uncle Ted had a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
He used to broadcast out of Jackson.
Yep.
It was on a radio station. Can I not mention the station?
Sure, mention
the Bear. Okay. And that's a pun to my good friend Dave Warner. He's called Beer Hunter.
Okay.
I was a new attorney. I can't recall exactly how it happened. One of the radio representatives I ran into, and she said, "Hey, would you like to advertise on our radio?" I said, "Absolutely." I've been on ever since, the radio.
Sure.
"We have a show coming on, and they could use some legal analysis." Said, "Okay, fine. Let's advertise on that show." It turned out to be Ted Nugent's show.
Okay.
So Uncle Ted used to have me call in as a regular guest on his radio show.
Oh, okay.
He even gave me a phone number to his house. And I thought at the time I was contacting his assistant when I would call out to his house to talk to him, Cindy. I'm telling you right now, I recall it was Cindy. I could be wrong, but Uncle Ted was so nice to me. I was always talking about the Second Amendment, gun rights, how to obtain a permit to carry a pistol, and so on and so forth. So that's my Uncle Ted story. I wonder if he still remembers me.
How could you be forgotten?
What's your favorite Ted Nugent song?
Cat Scratch Fever.
The Cat?
Yeah.
How's that go? Is that a bass or electric? What are you playing over there?
The electric guitar.
Okay, I'm playing. Nobody can see. I'm playing the eardrums over here.
We got to stop the singing.
No, everyone told me right now that we are not to sing anymore on this station.
We'll let Uncle Ted sing.
Yeah. And hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt of the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. You are
Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle on 98.5 UPS.
Also a sister station to the two other stations we're on.
That's right. Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rock out of Traverse City and Sheboygan.
Big shout out to all the radio personalities like Smitty up there.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yep, NASCAR Steve, NASCAR good guys. Steve,
great, great people.
And also Norm and Mike and all the folks.
Cherie, I love all those people. Yeah. But we have a lot of law to get to here. And also Canada, and you've mentioned this actually 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Canada is introducing legalization of cannabis across ocean to ocean.
By July of next year, 2018, they want to make it legal for everybody.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's the son of Prime Minister Trudeau, very famous Prime
Pierre
Minister,
Trudeau.
He's argued for years that making marijuana legal will keep it out of the hands of the underage users and reduce drug-related crime. Now, look, I want to answer a question.
Okay.
Here is why dispensaries are so safe in the state of Michigan and other places, especially the state of Michigan. If you're a community and you're thinking about allowing a Facilities Licensing Act, think about what I'm about to tell you. How often, Craig, have you heard in your lifetime that somebody used a fake ID to purchase alcohol or get into a bar?
All the time.
All the time.
I might have done it a couple times myself when I was a kid.
Or they'll give money to somebody and they'll go in and purchase it.
Sure.
The way the state is regulating Michigan dispensaries or provisioning centers, first off, you walk into the building and there's going to be a wall or some kind of security apparatus where you're not just going to be able to walk in. It's just my opinion, actually, about what's about to happen. And you're going to have to provide identification and picture ID that this is who I am. I'm a cardholder.
Right.
The dispensary is required under state law now, under the Facilities Licensing Act, to have software that is connected to the state software system.
So they can check you out. They can
check
you out.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a lot different than somebody walking into a party store or one of these big box drug stores and seeing that there's a young person behind a counter not even having to show ID and get away with consuming alcohol.
Right.
You're not going to be able to just walk into one of these dispensaries if you're under the age of 21 and or if you're not a cardholder. But when it's recreational, you know, it's still going to be controlled for 21 and older.
Sure.
But right now, until that happens, until it goes rec in Michigan, which is about to happen next year, you're not going to be able to walk into that. So my point is, what is safer in your community, the alcohol that is sold at all these stores or the cannabis and the CBDs and medicinal medicine at these dispensaries? Craig, what say you?
Well, I'm going to tell you this much. When we come back from the break, I'm going to pose a question to that in a theory that I want to hear what your answer is to, because I think I might have found a loophole in your theory there.
So we have to go to break.
We have to go to break.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Deputy head, hauling two limb bodies down to the water's edge.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I am Mount Pleasant, Michigan, in the middle of the mitten. Attorney Todd L. Levitt, Fire Up Chips, broadcasting across planet Earth in a beautiful green field here, Craig, in the Black Diamond Group mothership, 98.5 UPS, Rock 105, and 95.5 Traverse City, Sheboygan, Petoskey.
You know it.
Podcasting on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
All over the world.
All over the world. Coming to you now from 8 to 9 a.m. I am a defense attorney, not just a... I don't just have a radio show. Yeah. I'm a defense attorney, but I don't use this show to solicit business.
Not everyone. Not often.
Rarely. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose of the show is not to say, hey, call me, I'm an attorney, if you get a drunk driving, possession of marijuana, or, you know, any kind of those offenses in Traverse City or wherever you're at. The purpose is to advocate on behalf of the people. We are the voice of the people.
Yes.
I talk to the people as you do every day, every week, year in and year out, and I'm here to advocate for the people. The majority of the people, because the minorities always control the majority, I'm talking on behalf of the majority here.
Are you sure?
I couldn't get that out. It's Mother's Day. You wish me happy Mother's Day. I'm not even a mother. Go ahead. What do you
happy,
got to say?
Happy Mother's Day.
Before break, we were talking about dispensaries and how the communities will be protected from people walking into the dispensaries as opposed to somebody trying to buy alcohol underage drinking. I think there's more protections in place for the dispensaries.
Now, here's my question to you. So let's say...
Put it in writing.
Put it in writing?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Let me write this down. So here's my question to you. So let's say I'm standing outside a local convenience store and a couple of snot-nosed teenagers come up to me and say, hey, buddy, here's $25. Can you buy us a case of beer? Keep the change. And I go, all right, fine. I remember what it's like to be a kid, blah, blah, blah. And I do that. What's to say?
Well, first, don't do
no,
that.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying.
Nobody.
I'm just
hypothetical.
Using hypothetical. That's just a hypothetical. So my question to you is, what's going to stop someone from, say, sitting at their house and a buddy calls up and goes, hey, I know I'm only 17, but can you go buy me some pot? They go to the dispensary, they get the pot, and they bring it back and give it to the kid. I mean, what's going to stop anybody from doing that?
So here's the issue. A cardholder who walks into a dispensary, provisioning center in the state of Michigan, other states, Colorado, Oregon, California, dispensaries, there's various similar terms. The cardholder is going to be limited to how much medicine he or she can purchase on any given day.
Okay.
So could that happen? Absolutely. But if that does happen, that person, one, is breaking the law, first of all. They could be charged with a felony for delivering and manufacturing. It's a 4-year felony. Here's the other issue. That person is going to be without their medicine. They're not going to be able to dispensary hop. So you can't go into a dispensary in Lansing and then the same day go to Ann Arbor. Because when you walk into that business, it's going to go through the state of Michigan computer system. They're going to see that you, Craig Russell, are already purchased a certain amount on this given day. You're not going to be able to walk in and, you know, every day just purchase ounces and ounces and ounces and ounces all day long, pounds and pounds. So therefore, could it happen? Sure. But that person, one, is putting him or herself at risk to be charged with a felony. And second, they're going to be without their medicine. And so there's your answer.
Now, I'll say another thing, too, because I truly believe... I truly believe that regulation is the way to go. We'll make a safer product. You're not going to be getting off some bum off the street or something like that. And I think that's probably better for everybody. I think because it's a much milder product than, like, say, what we used before.
It's going to be tested.
Yep.
It's going to go from the cultivators to the transportation company, which will take it to the testing facility and then to the provisioning centers. Here's the thing, though. It's going to be wreck. It's already here. People have been growing cannabis in the state of Michigan for generations. Any community that says we don't want a provisioning center or one of these licensed facilities in our community, guess what, folks? It's already in your community, whether they're cardholders, caregivers, or otherwise. And here's the thing, that cannabis isn't killing people. It's the heroin. It's the opiates. It's the drinking and driving. As a defense attorney of more than 23 years, yes, have I known clients of mine who have perished because of drug addiction from opiates, heroin, otherwise, and alcohol? Yes. Now, a combination of pills and cannabis and alcohol, deadly. But Craig, when's the last time you heard of somebody from smoking just in their house passing away?
Never.
Due to the smoking?
Never.
Exactly. So here's what I'm saying. To all the communities out there throughout the country and the state of Michigan, it's coming. It's going to be recreational here in the next year. You have an opportunity to bring much needed revenue to your local community. Maybe you need money for the local fire department, or you need money to hire another police officer, or you need money to fix the roads or the pipes. Why not allow a marijuana facilities license in your township, in your community, and you get tax revenue. You get to tap in to a state fund. In fact, that's a great segue, Craig.
Yeah.
Here we go. Taxes. All right?
Okay.
There's something that's been created under Section 602 of the Facilities, Section 1 of the Facilities Licensing Act. The Medical Marijuana Excise Fund was created in the state of Michigan Treasury. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the money in the Medical Marijuana Fund shall be allocated as follows. 25% to municipalities in which a marijuana facility is located. Allocated, though, in proportion to the number of marijuana facilities within the municipality. 30% to counties in which a marijuana facility is located. Again, in proportion to the number of marijuana facilities within the county.
So it's about half so far.
So you can't just, there's this huge fund that's going to be created and all the five licenses are going to be contributing, you know, to this fund based on their earnings. And that's another formula. So just, if you're a small community, you can't, and you only have one license in your community, obviously you're going to be limited to how much money you can then take out of the fund. 5% to counties in which a marijuana facility is located, again, in proportion. But the money under the counties is allocated and is used exclusively to support the county sheriffs.
Oh, okay.
How's that?
Okay.
So the county sheriffs, the law enforcement in the counties in which these facilities are located get to tap into the excise fund and take 5% out. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we need law enforcement. And the revenue is going to help law enforcement. And 30% to the state for the following. Until September 30th of 2017 for deposit in the general fund of the state treasury. Well, I'm not sure how that works because people can't start applying for licenses until December of 2017.
Right.
5% to the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Standards for training local law enforcement officers and 5% to the Department of State Police. So we just broke down how the townships and what else?
The municipalities.
The counties.
Yep. And the state itself. We're going to use all this
state
extra
police.
Money. Yep.
Local county sheriff's department. So not only are you providing medicine for your citizens and revenue for your community, but you're supporting local law enforcement. And that's been a big concern for a lot of people who sit on these boards.
Now, you know, this all sounds a lot like something else that was introduced in the state about probably 25, 30 years ago. It was going to bring crime and squalor to the communities that these facilities were going to be allowed into. There was going to be all kinds of killings. There was going to be all kinds of money issues and everything. There are now 22 or 23 licensed casinos in the state of Michigan. And to the best of my knowledge, the uptick in crime in any of those communities, probably with the exception of maybe Detroit, has been microscopic, if
not even Detroit.
And think about all the money. There's a community south of Grand Rapids called Wayland. It's where there's a casino there, the Gun Lake Casino. That casino now gives back yearly, based on profits, $3 to $4 million to this small community every year. The community is maybe 2,000 people. They've all made it to where some of that money goes to the high school. No one has to pay to play any more sports or to get into any sports. Everybody gets in free and can play for free sports because the casino is there generating money. That's just a small sample of what that community does with the money from the casinos, which everyone thought, oh my goodness, when those casinos come in, it's going to just, the state's going to be filled with criminals and it's going to run rampant. You know what? Everyone goes to the casino okay. and has, you know, I mean, and Mount Pleasant is a great example too.
Well, let me just play, I'm a defense attorney.
Right.
So I see, okay, your point well taken in regards to, you know, all this horrible crime and all this blight and whatnot. Let me address the issue of giving back, these casinos giving back to the community, because we're broadcasting in the middle of the Mitten. I practice law out of Central Michigan, the mm-hmm. Mount Pleasant area.
Yep.
I mean, I go all over the north,
yep.
and Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, all up to the UP to practice law. But we have the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
Correct.
An amazing property. The tribe, the people are just beautiful people. I have a lot of dear friends out there. And that tribe contributes, and I believe they still do, a certain percentage each year.
Yeah.
To the city of Mount Pleasant,
yep.
I think the high school, the county.
Yep.
I'm not sure the actual percentage. Maybe I can have my friend Stephanie Peters on. She could talk about that. Or Frank, the chief Frank.
It's
I know Frank. But here's the thing.
It's usually a percentage of the money that
But
they
let's
made
talk there. About some of the bad things about casinos for me.
Sure, there are some.
Gambling habits.
Yep.
We have students and people who come from all over, and any given day you go into a casino and you see men and women, you know, losing their mortgages, students using their loan money. But what you're referring to is crime across the board.
Yeah.
Now, there are tribal police officers. They do a great job.
Yep.
Okay. As all law enforcement, we love support law enforcement on this show. There's going to be crime because you're bringing that many people to one location. But we're not talking like in a large scale.
No, not at all.
But they do. The casinos give so much back to the local communities. Governor Angler, who was a governor of the state of Michigan, who's, by the way, is from Beale City.
Right.
Right here in the middle of the Mitten. He was, I mean, I'm just going to say this. There's, you know, I like Governor Angler.
Okay.
There's, I see a lot of good that he's done. Okay. When I was going to Central. Okay. I'm just going to say that. And I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I'm an American. But I look at like Governor.
And a Michigander.
And a Michigander. Pure Michigan, baby. And Governor Snyder's done a lot of great things, too. But what I want to say is this, that Governor Angler was, I believe, the one that actually pushed forth allowing for the tribes to start casinos, and then we had Soaring Eagle Casino go up.
Right, I think
because when
so.
I went to when we went to Central,
there was
bingo.
Yeah,
yeah. So
it's probably a good thing too when I went to Central that the casino wasn't up.
So, but back to the comparison. See, there you
I'm
go.
Making a joke.
Hey, Flamin' Sevens pull the slot,
that's
baby.
Right.
But look, I'm just saying that there's already crime in your community. There's already people who should not be drinking and driving, but are drinking and driving through your community. They're buying alcohol at your local party store or big box store or grocery store, and they're getting behind the wheel. There's domestic violence. There's opiate addiction. So I ask you again, men and women who run these councils and municipalities, take a look, really take a look at your community. Where's the crime coming from? It's not going to come from a dispensary because that's going to be so regulated, and plus it's safe. It's medicine. You know, I always said years ago on the show that we should have a lane, you know, up and down the highway just for cannabis users who are just chillaxing up and down the highway, you know?
They could write a song about
Except
that.
Except if you're in a Mustang, I'm still hung up on that lady going 20 miles an hour. Listen, Sammy Hagar came out with a song, I Can't Drive 55, right?
That's right, yep.
Okay, if it's 75 miles an hour now and you're in a Mustang driving 55, you better turn on Sammy Hagar, put the pedal to the metal, and get your tail moving, because I'm on a truck and get that Mustang moving.
Todd, we got to take a break, but when we come back from break, I'm fired up. This is the radio version of clickbait. Do you know what clickbait is?
I have no idea. I will explain it to you.
I'll explain it to you when we come back, but I'm going to say this. Today, Mother's Day, there is a legal business in the state of Michigan selling crack, and I will explain it to you when we come back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong once again with Warrant, Uncle Tom's Cabin, one of my all-time favorites.
Song or band?
Both.
Okay.
Just love that. I'm just a hair band kind of, Metallica hair band kind of guy. I used to have hair. I mean, I got a lot of hair on my head. You said that at the very beginning of the show.
It's true.
And I actually took a picture of the top of my head last week because how often when you have this much hair, do you actually get to look at the top of your head to see if you're going bald?
Yeah. Are you?
We'll take a look.
Nope.
Exactly.
If you've never seen Todd's hair, imagine John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever from the 70s. He's got that hair all feathered back, that jet black. You color your hair?
No.
No?
Once in a while.
Oh, I was going to say.
I mean, because it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good,
Hey, let me tell you something. You know? I'm not ready to go all gray. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Why? Well, look, there's a lot of men out there who have gray hair. Shock your women. Go to the store. No, there's nothing wrong with this. And go dye your hair. Here, shave your beard, shave your goatee, go dye your hair, put on some parachute pants and a t-shirt with Back to the Future and see what your wife says. I don't know where that came from. Hey, wow. Let's talk about legal crack. You said something about crack during
yeah,
before
I,
we went
I,
to break.
I might have misconstrued something, but this is the radio version of clickbait. There is a legal business in the state of Michigan that is giving away crack to moms on Mother's Day. Let me explain.
All right.
There's a brewery, Grand Rapids, Lansing, Detroit, Kalamazoo, called Founders Brewery. They make a lot of local, they're like one of the biggest craft brews in the state of Michigan. Of course, Michigan's a big beer state to begin with. They sell this this food item called crack fries. They're fries. They've got the seasoning
okay.
on them.
Okay. I'm like thinking crack. You're talking about something illegal here.
They're giving away crack fries to moms.
Because nobody should sell crack.
No, no, no. But crack fries.
What's a crack fry?
Oh, they're delicious, man.
It's a fry with a crack fry.
They're french fries, and they're so addictive, they're like crack. That's why they call them crack fries.
Okay.
You can get free crack fries from mom on Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, thank you very much. Happy Mother's Day. And my mother, your mother, all the mothers out there. And we're not just a law show, the Todd Levitt Law Show, that talks about cannabis every week. But do we end up? Absolutely.
Sure.
So here's another cannabis story.
Of course.
We teased the audience at the beginning of the show. There was a case out of Royal Oak.
Okay.
And
This
took place back in 2015. You had a defendant who pled no contest to operating while intoxicated, third offense. That's actually, I know the site, MCL 257.625 under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, and operating without a valid license, arising from a drinking and driving that probably took, I think it took place in 2014. Once the case went to the trial court, circuit court, because cases that are felonies go to circuit court. Went to circuit court. The defendant was placed on 3 years probation with other terms and a scram tether. He was required to submit to drug testing as directed by his or her probation officer. In this case, his probation officer. And that he participate in outpatient or residential substance abuse treatment programs and not violate, you ready for this, any law of any unit of government. Now, folks, we're talking about a case where an individual was placed on probation, was a card holder. Mm-hmm. That's another issue. Was not at the time of the arrest and the offense, so it expired.
Ooh.
Out of Royal Oak, wanted to be able to use his card, became a card holder while this case was going through the system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because he was one. Wanted to use on probation. This case went up to the Court of Appeals. So we're talking about a guy, and the Court of Appeals decided whether or not, if you're on probation, the judge says, hey, Mr. Russell, I don't care if you are a card holder, you know, you're not smoking by order of the court. You know, which even though it's medicine prescribed by a doctor, I don't feel that judges are in any position, nor probation officers. No disrespect. I have a lot of friends who work for the Department of Corrections. I have a lot of friends that are judges, but you're not doctors. Okay. Nor am I. So I don't see how a court system is allowed to circumvent the advice of a licensed medical physician. It just burns me up. I'm just saying. But here's the excuse they say. It's the feds. They bring in the feds. And they say, well, look, it's still considered Schedule I drug. And the federal law does trump, by the way. No
yeah.
pun intended. No, I'm serious. That's the first thing you learn.
Yeah.
Law school 101.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a federal law, it's the law of the land. United States Supreme Court is the law of the land. But in this case, Craig, he's on probation. His lawyer filed a motion seeking permission to use his card. The trial court said what?
No.
Exactly. So they denied the defendant's motion to allow him to use his medical card while on probation. Now, remember this. On appeal, but here, let me tell you what the Act says, the Medical Marijuana Act says. A qualifying patient who has been issued a or and possesses a registry identification card shall not be subject to arrest, prosecution, or penalty in any manner or denied any right or privilege for the medical use of marijuana in accordance with this act.
Now, I'm going to say something.
State law.
I'm going to say
it's an act.
But here's the part of it with me that's a little shady, because I get what you're saying.
Well, I haven't told you the answer yet.
No, you haven't. But I'm going to tell you, of all of what you said so far, the part that's shady, 2014, he gets pulled over for drunk driving and not having a license. Between the time he's pulled over and the time the case went to court, he then obtains a medical marijuana license.
But remember, he was once a card holder. It expired.
I know.
And folks, by the way, check out your cards. Do not let them expire.
But it just sounds, it sounds shady that like he knew he was going to get busted. Because I mean, to be honest, you pulled over for drunk driving, you pulled over without having a license, you're in trouble. And then he kind of said, well, I'm going to try and get around because I'm obviously not going to be able to do any more drinking anymore anytime soon. That's, you know, obviously that's going to be a big part, but I'll go get my medical marijuana card. Now, did he have proof from a doctor that he actually was able and should be using it?
He had to have. He was granted a medical marijuana card under the act. And can I just say this again?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is where the conflict takes place. A qualifying patient who possesses the card under the registry shall not be subject to arrest, prosecution, or penalty in any manner, or denied, and here's the issue I have, or denied any right or privilege for the medical use of cannabis. I always call it, I refer to it as cannabis.
Right.
But here we have courts across the state and the country. Now, I'm not going to argue with every judge, because if you're a judge, and let me just talk in fairness to the judges, and when I come to the conclusion of this case, you'll understand why I'm about to say this.
Okay.
The judges take a look at cases on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And in fairness to the judges, I have seen and have been in front of judges and where I have filed a motion where they have allowed my clients, once on probation, to continue to use their medical marijuana cards. So kudos to a lot of judges in the state of Michigan.
Because the law is a living, breathing thing, and it's open to interpretation.
The majority have spoken.
Yep.
But so fairness to the judges out there, and when I said, well, a judge shouldn't play doctor, a lot of judges are allowing it with proof from if you can come to court, and I'm not saying bring forth a Section 8 defense. I'm saying once you're on probation at sentencing, you as a lawyer, you bring forth documentation, as I have in the past, that your client, yes, has had a bona fide relationship with his or her physician. Not just some, you know, like Dr. Bob Townsend,
yeah.
Great doctor.
Yep.
If look, Dr. Bob Townsend, Denali Healthcare, that's a great doctor right there. Love him. He needs to come back on the show. But you have to prove to a judge that you have a bona fide relationship and it's medical marijuana and that you have a medical condition. So I'll just leave it at that. So what did the court say?
The court probably said, no, still you can't use it.
So you think the Court of Appeals, three-judge panel, agreed with the trial court that this individual could not continue to use his card?
Probably. And I think it's because even though he had one before and he let it lapse, that he tried to circumvent the situation by getting one between the time of his arrest and the trial.
The lawyer filed a motion claiming that the trial court abused discretion. So the Court of Appeals, now on appeal, the court was limited to what took place in the lower court.
Right.
No one's presenting new evidence here. It's on appeal. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So did the trial court abuse its discretion when its decision falls outside of what we just said in regards to the interpretation of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act? That was the question. And the defendant, you know, sought to argue that the trial court's issue, you know, was an abuse of discretion. Here's what the Court of Appeals said. The Court of Appeals felt that the trial, well, they denied the motion.
Okay.
So folks, at this point in time, and I'll tell you why, at this point in time, no. You cannot, right. if unless a judge allows you and says it's okay, if you're a cardholder and you're on probation in the state of Michigan under the Department of Corrections or under state or district court, whatever level, you cannot smoke without permission from the district court judge. The Court of Appeals did not open the door for that. And here's the reason why it was the wrong case. Because here's an individual who was on his third drunk driving, okay? And the court felt, and I'm not saying I agree with this, and he was on a SCRAM device also. The court felt that the defendant would simply be replacing one addictive drug, alcohol, for another. Completely disagree with that ruling right there. But the rest of the logic went to the long history of abuse of this individual with alcohol and other drugs. And here's the kicker. The defendant also had a prior federal conviction for conspiring to deliver marijuana. This individual was in his 60s at the time. So they found it curious also, and you brought this up, that although defendant had a medical marijuana card at one time, which expired in 2013, he did not apply, and Craig, you were absolutely right, for a new card until after the arrest for the alcohol-related offense. But defendant expressed a preference, not a necessity, for medical marijuana used as a pain medication, and his counsel acknowledged that the medical alternatives were available to treat his pain, but noted that the defendant's dislike for side effects of prescription medication is what led him, and I say rightfully so in a lot of cases, back to medical marijuana. But the trial court noted that the use of prescribed pain medication and the history of abuse and the third drunk driving, too much substance abuse history to allow him, this defendant, according to the Court of Appeals, to smoke with medical marijuana while on probation. Here's the thing. It was the wrong. I'm glad it went up to the Court of Appeals, folks. It was the wrong case to go up. You right. see, we need a case. We need a case where somebody is not a third-time offender, does not have decades and decades of abuse, but somebody who was placed on probation in a court in the state of Michigan, who's a cardholder, legitimate medical reasons, and that goes up. That's the person we need.
Here's the thing. You know,
does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense. Baseball, you know,
I don't agree with the court, by the way.
They say three strikes and you're out in baseball. This guy had like about 15 strikes. I mean, he had a lot of things going against him.
I still disagree with the Court of Appeals. I respectfully, as an attorney, and I'm not criticizing each of the judges. I don't criticize judges, period. After a trial, whether you win, you lose, you don't criticize. I don't criticize judges. I just don't do that.
Right.
So, but I that doesn't mean I can't. That doesn't mean I can't disagree with their decision. There's a lot of court decisions at all levels.
Sure.
Federal Court of Appeals, this circuit, that circuit, state Court of Appeals. I don't agree with the Court of Appeals because I feel cannabis would have alleviated some of this individual's other medical symptoms. Maybe, you know, bipolar, there's medical issues. They're not doctors.
But here's
the wrong case.
But here's the thing, though. Much like everything else, they are lawyers and they're human beings. And the fact that if he would have been a 65-year-old guy who had never been pulled over for anything in his life, was using medical marijuana, and got pulled over, they probably would have shown different discretion. They probably would have said, okay, this is your first offense. You use medical marijuana. We'll let you go ahead and continue to do that even though you're on probation because you don't have a history of doing a lot of illegal things. You know, they're human beings, and they're going to interpret the law not only the way they're supposed to by the book, but they're also going to let some of their own feelings come into it. I think that's where a lot of it comes in. I mean, I think it happens.
Judges are to interpret the law.
But I think it's hard to look at somebody like that and not have an opinion that might
It was the
not.
Wrong case to go to the court. I'm glad it went up,
yeah.
but
yep.
I was hoping that it would come out favorably for a lot of my clients. And some, the Court of Appeals ruled that the trial court, Craig, did not abuse its discretion in denying defendant's request to use medical marijuana while on probation. And again, you know, they looked at the trial court, which considered the need to provide the defendant with pain treatment, but it also took into consideration all those additional factors, as we stated a moment ago.
Sure.
Defendant's history of substance abuse, the need to deter additional criminality, and the need to protect the public from further crimes by the defendant. And they also ruled that the defendant failed to offer any persuasive argument for the proposition that the Medical Marijuana Act prohibits a trial court from ever imposing a probationary condition barring the use of medical marijuana. Okay, I understand that. I agree that, you know, where's the argument that medical marijuana prohibits a trial court from imposing that probationary conditioning barring you to use your medical marijuana? It was a wrong case. It was a wrong.
For someone like yourself who is an advocator, sure.
I'm not That's just perfect. A litigator. I'm an advocator. We have to go to break. We're going to come back strong with our fourth segment right here in the mothership, in the Greenfield. Attorney Todd L. Levitt, losing my voice. You are.
Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
Take us a break. Tip the wait staff. Let's get some gas station pizza. We'll be right back. Back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, your mother, all the mothers out there, the grandmothers, the aunts, the uncles, and all the women out there who have played the role of mother in a lot of young children's lives when the mother was sick or ill or was not there.
And I'll say this much, not happy Mother's Day to the people who call me a mother. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
You're actually a father.
I am a father.
You are a father.
That's right.
Absolutely. Look, I got a complaint.
Okay.
Okay. I have dogs and a cat.
All right.
Okay. I get criticized from my GF because I don't pay the same attention to the cat as I do with my dogs. Now, first off,
there's a reason for that.
There's a difference between a relationship with a dog and I love the cat, but the cat is chilled. It's like, it's almost like, you know, just, it's a card holder. My cat's a card holder. My cat's chillaxing. I mean, hey, why do you think cats have had cat? Why is catnip legal all these years and the federal government won't remove cannabis and hemp from Schedule 1? But my cat chillaxes. The dog, I have German Shepherds.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have a relationship, like a human relationship with my dogs. I know when they have to go to the bathroom, when they're hungry, they go everywhere with me. The cat, it's not the same. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. You know the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Dogs are squeaky wheels. They get the grease, man. Cats don't, you know, cats just kind of coexist. They kind of do their own thing. If it's not their idea, they don't want any part of it. Dogs are right there in your face all the time.
I love my cat.
Sure.
But it's not the same relationship that I have with my dogs.
And I think it's also different because men and women. I think men have different relationship with dogs than women do. And I think women have different relationships with cats than men do.
So now, on a daily basis, I can't call the cat a cat. Remember that show? I got in trouble because I called my dog by my dog's name and said, by the way, the cat's always annoying. Da, da, da. Don't you call that. That cat has a name.
What's the cat's name?
I'm not going to say.
No, say the cat's
name. I don't want to say the name.
I want to know the cat's name.
And by the way, I adopted the cat from Hatts in Isabella County.
Mr. Whiskerton's? Is that what the cat's name?
No, but listen.
Fluffy?
I know we're
why won't you tell me the cat's name?
I'm not going to tell you. Because I don't want anybody. My cat's a watch cat. It's like a lion. You come into my house, it's trained to attack like the dogs.
But it's
so if you come into my house and you know the cat's name, how's it going to protect my property? I don't want you get what I'm saying here.
Whatever.
Hold on.
Whatever.
I got a serious moment here.
Okay.
I adopted a cat.
All right.
I want everyone out there, okay, to consider adopting a pet from a pet store, from shelters. Please, folks, visit your local shelter. These men and women who run these shelters, especially Hatts in Isabella County and the other shelters, they do the most amazing job. You know, so please adopt a pet. Please.
Did you hear the great story? About a month ago, the Bissell pet people out of Grand Rapids, they make Bissell vacuum cleaners, but they also have a pet side because obviously people with vacuum cleaners clean up pet hair. They do this thing, it's called Empty the Shelter. They pick about 60 shelters across the state and they pay for adoptions for a day. And they did this all across the state. And up in Petoskey, the Little Traverse Humane Society had the Empty the Shelter day. And at the end of the day, they had one dog left. Dog's name was Eastwood. Nobody adopted Eastwood. Made national news.
I saw
all
that.
Over.
I saw that.
The dog got adopted a couple of weeks ago. You know who adopted the dog?
Who?
Stan Van Gundy, the coach of the Pistons.
That's unbelievable.
He and his wife saw that. They drove up. They just got the dog yesterday or a couple of days ago, I think it was. I think it was like on Tuesday or Wednesday. They got the dog. The dog has been adopted, but that's a great thing. That's where you should get your dog. Don't go to a puppy farm. Don't go to any of that stuff. Don't go to a big box store. Go to a shelter. Get a forever friend.
Go to a shelter, but okay, I agree and disagree because those big box stores, I feel really bad for those pets also.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I understand.
But I want to say back to, look, you're listening, by the way, if you're just tuning in for the first time, the show's almost over, and you've been listening to the Todd Levitt Law Show. We had a great show. We have a little bit more to go here, but you can catch us on Podbean, SoundCloud, and iTunes, and we're broadcasting strong from the mothership in a green field on all Black Diamond, well, actually three Black Diamond Group sister stations.
98.5 UPS. Rock 105 and Rock 95.5.
And here's the other thing I want to thank all my sponsors who sponsor this show.
Yep.
And if you're a business out there and you think my show fits your business, give the station a call.
Yeah.
Give one of the stations a call and you can become part of our advertising family, not only on the Todd Levitt Law Show, but on the Black Diamond Broadcasting Group.
That's right.
Because we got great, the company has great stations across the board. You don't just have to advertise on my show. You can also advertise on all the other shows.
That's right. And you should do that because that keeps me in a job.
Absolutely. But there's no way that my dog is going to get less attention or than the cat. Or the cat's going to get more than the dog.
How long have you had the dog?
I'm not going to say that also. I don't want to disclose. Craig, I'm not going to tell you my cat's name because it's a tack cat. And you're going to come into my house, and it roams the property. It's an outdoor cat with long claws. It's got long claws.
Here's my theory, though. You've had the dog a lot longer than you've had the cat, and the cat has something to do with the girlfriend.
I'm not disclosing any information other than you come by my house, I'm going to throw catnip on you, and my cat has some claws, Craig, and you're going to be my cat. I'm telling you right now, man. My cat is not like Kimba. Okay? Remember Kimba the White Lion?
I do.
Kimba the White Lion.
Stop.
No singing. Okay, I'm going to have that song on my head all day now. Yeah. Kimba the White Lion. How about Speed Racer? Another great show. But no, I just want to bring up that point. Okay. I'm tired of getting guff about the cats and the dogs, and I have fish, and I change the water in my fish tank at least once, sometimes twice a month.
The fish have a name?
You're not telling the fish's name. Are you kidding me? Why would you tell somebody the name of your attack fish or attack cat or your... My dogs, though, were law enforcement trained. I'm just going to say that. And here's something very interesting about... First of all, if you have a pet such as I do, they're dangerous. They're not dangerous, but they could be. Yeah. And you got to be very careful. Now, hear what I'm saying, Craig. This is very important.
I'm hearing you.
There's certain words that will trigger actions in certain animals. You have to be very careful not even to use a word that the dog thinks in their own hearing is that word or similar, and then they act on it.
Yeah.
So if your dog likes to go for a ride, you know, in fact, everyone out there listening, if you have a dog nearby, let's go for a ride, dog. Come on, let's go for a ride. Let's go for a walk. If you say something and your dog gets excited that's similar to that, and that's their call to action, you got to be careful. You don't want your dog doing anything to hurt anybody like that.
Yeah, no. And you, if anybody, would know.
I'm bringing
about
up a
that.
Good point, though.
Yeah, legally.
Because that's I have shepherds. You got to be very careful not to use words similar to certain other words that will be a call to action. You want my cat's name?
Sure.
You're not getting it. Not a Craig Russell. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. Speaking of the show, show's over.
We've had a great show. Who would you like to wish Happy Mother's Day to?
To my mom, Rose, lives in Kalamazoo. And also, I should probably say Happy Mother's Day to the mother of my children. So there you go.
I wish all the listeners Happy Mother's Day. Yep. And have a great afternoon, morning, evening. Go out and hug someone with consent.
Yes, of course.
And just think positive. Enthusiasm is contagious. Craig, when you're down, there's only one place to go.
That's up, baby.
That's right. And do not let people pull your strings. It's your life. You were born to live, and you must live. And one more thing.
Is this a Lady Gaga song?
No, it's not.
I swear.
It's one more thing.
Okay.
I don't want anybody feeling sorry for themselves, and I don't want you to blame your past on where you could take your future. Keep an eye out for all the motorcyclists out there and bicyclists, yep. Hikers, walkers, runners. Have a great afternoon. I'm not just a litigator. Craig, take us out with some Warren. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you in part by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.